Thank you, Miss Lori. Good to see y'all tonight. And I preached an underwear message this morning on how brief it was, of course. And, of course, I think Brother George, that was with us, asked my granddaughter, Amy, does your granddaddy have a 10-minute sermon? Because things are going. And I told her, anytime anybody asks that, just go ahead and say yes. Go ahead, it'd be all right to lie on stuff like that. But I'm just kidding. I hope I can be brief tonight. Usually when preachers don't get to preach their whole message on Sunday morning, they tend to belabor it on Sunday night and preach a lot longer. But we still got baptism of a couple of guys. Brother Earl's going to do the baptizing tonight. And so we'll take care of that in just a moment. I want to say something. This is our last Sunday of our focus on the Word of God. I hope you've been faithful about your Bible reading. We had the Beams Bible reading schedules that are still available out in the lobby. I hope you got one of those. Hope you're on target and that you're making this the year. I didn't get a count, but I think somewhere around 25 or 30 of you stood up on the first Sunday of the month and gave the commitment that you're going to do your best to read through your Bible this year. And if we make that, that'd be an awesome thing. And listen, if you don't get all the way through, how far you get is going to help you. But just stay with it, and if you have fallen off the wagon this month, just get right back on. Just go right back where you were. God's not going to be upset with you if you get back into His Word. He's going to be excited and thrilled that you got back in it. Anybody can fall out of it, but I hope you'll get back in it. Take your Bibles tonight. Let me share this message with you. We'll begin several verses I want to turn to tonight. And let's start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. One of the most common places when we think about the Word of God is 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that tells us about the inspiration of the Scriptures. And we'll read those verses in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. While you're turning there, I'll give you a little thing that I read recently. The Illinois State Treasurer, Dan Rutherford, initiated a program a few years ago in Illinois called Cash Dash. What this was, they put an ad in the Chicago Tribune, and the purpose of this was to help people who had unclaimed millions of dollars for them to somehow find a way to dash for the cash and somehow be able to collect this. The state of Illinois, this is the way it read in the ad, the state of Illinois has collected more than $1 billion worth of lost or abandoned wealth that belongs to millions of Illinois residents. It includes everything from forgotten bank accounts to entire estates that had never reached their rightful owners. The Cash Dash program aims to give it all back. And then the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators claims this: keep in mind that Illinois' unclaimed funds, money, cash, and property are gold mines just waiting to be discovered by their rightful owners. The program is exciting because it says this: I want to see all those who have valuable assets return to them, that they get this, and also hope that everyone, this is one of the administrators speaking, I hope also that everyone does not miss out on money or valuable assets that the state is holding for them. Now, while I don't think God's got some secret money stashed away for you under a rock somewhere or in some secret bank account, I do believe that in the Word of God that's in your lap and that I hold right here on this pulpit, that there are literally unmined, unclaimed, ungrabbed blessings and treasures that we can find in the Word of God. And we're going to tackle a few of those tonight as we close out this month on the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you found that in your Bible, would you say amen? Let me be put in reading, if I could, around verse number 14. Here the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures." There's not a better name for the Bible than the holy Scriptures, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now here's our verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I like that King James word, thoroughly. It gives me the idea of inside and out. The Word of God will do its work on you. And so I want to share with you four things tonight about the Word of God that makes it that treasure chest, if you would, of unmined and unpossessed blessings that He offers to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your Word. Help me in the moments I have to share the truths from your Word that you want me to share. And Lord, thank you again for a soul that got saved this week and two more that want to follow you in believers' baptism tonight. And God, we give you praise for all three missionary families that have been with us today. And it's encouraging to see young couples who still want to give their lives for the cause of Christ and to serve you, whether at home or abroad. And to take the willing step to go abroad is such a great and awesome thing. And I ask you to bless all of these, the Sullivan family included. Help us now. May the Spirit of God be our guide as we study your word now in these few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. Now the Bible makes it clear here, very important. The first thing I would say this, one of the reasons that we have such a treasure chest in the Word of God that we can mine and possess and get something from, number one is because it is a God-breathed book. We read the Word in verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration. I heard a preacher not long ago explain it this way. He said, think of inspiration, break the Word apart, in-spirit-ation. That's kind of the way he said it. He sort of scrambled it a little bit to make us understand it. But the idea was that the words of God have God's Spirit in them. Now, I like to kind of compare Scripture with Scripture. So what I did when I read God breathed, I looked up my Bible where the first time God did any breathing, and that's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse number 7, where it says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth or the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. As surely as God's breath brought life to man's shell, God's breath is breathed into every word. Though written by the pen of a man, it still is inspired and breathed into and breathed upon by God. So the words that are found in your Bible have the power and the presence and the peace of God in them. Now, if you've ever gone through grammar class in school, had to look up words in a dictionary, you've looked them up, and you realize that some of the words in our English language that we might read in a regular book, or we might write on an essay, or we might use them to write a letter or note to somebody, we actually use similar words to what we find on the pages of the Bible. If you have a King James Bible, you've got English words written in your Bible. You use those words, but now listen to me. When you write the words and you use the words, they don't have the same power in them that these words that are written have in them. You can write the word, I believe the Patriots are going to come back in one of the greatest Super Bowl wins of all. And by the way, they did. I just want to point that out to some of you that hate them so much. But you can write that down. But your word, believe, doesn't carry the same weight that the word believe carries in the Bible. You can write down about how you got faith, and you can use the word faith or any of a million other words that we might choose from the English language, but your writing them does not have the power and the presence and the peace of God in them. But these words have dynamite in them. The Bible tells me that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. That's the dynamite, the dunamis of it. And not only that, but they're dynamic. They're not static words that just sit there on the paper and never move. These words have power, life-giving power in the Word of God. Inspiration. God has breathed into, listen to me carefully, every word of the Bible. I happen to think the punctuation is even important. There's a comma in the book of Isaiah that separates the first coming of Christ with the second coming of Christ. And when you read those prophecies of Isaiah, you see that's amazing to see. It's interesting to hear Nick's testimony tonight about how the Word of God's been real to him. I hope it has been to you. I try to tie our songs to the Word of God because I want our songs to be biblical and scriptural so they got some power in them. I hope my preaching is tied to the Word of God. I've heard some preachers, man, they get up, they never read the Bible, they never say anything about Jesus. They just tell a wonderful story and everybody laughs and cries a little bit and goes home. Everybody feels better that they got entertained. But it's the Word of God that has power. God's gift of treasures to us in the Word of God is a God-breathed book. And these are the verses. We're reminded in verse 14 that Timothy said this, but continue thou. I think Timothy needed to continue in the Word of God. He had to continue in the work that God had given him, and certainly he was to continue worshiping the Lord. But he says here, be assured of the things thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of them, of whom rather, thou hast learned them, they came from. Remember now, not just Paul. Timothy wasn't just learned of his educational side by Paul, but also from, if you'll read back in chapter number 1 of this book. He says in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also." So grandma had a part. Are you listening to me now? Now listen to me. I'll help you. Grandma helped out. Mama helped out. A mentor helped out. And God used His Word, not just their little stories, but my grandma used to always say, I think grandma ought to tie her stuff to the Word of God too. Mama ought to tie her advice and counsel to the Word of God. It'd be a great thing if years from now your young'uns and grand-young'uns rise up and say, my grandma and my granddaddy used to always say, well, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, God says, God says, God says. Instead of just little old wives' tales and the little story, we all have our cliches. We all have our little sayings that we picked up over the years, some of which are biblical and some of which are just old wives' tales. Well, what a great thing it is when grandma and grandpa and mom and daddy have an impact on their children. Listen to me. You'll have no greater impact on your children than the Word of God. Teach your children to memorize Scripture. For a long time, while our kids were little and growing up at home, they had to always say a Bible verse at the supper table. Now, I'm not saying you got to do that. That's just the way we did it. You say a verse or you don't eat. I thought that was a very encouraging thing to say. And then after a while, we got to where you can't repeat the verse. So everybody wanted to be first and say John 11:35, Jesus wept. And then the next person couldn't say that until finally she would be crying at the end of the table and we'd let him say Jesus wept again. Let him get by. Listen, I'm telling you right now, as big as his head was in those days, if he ate any more, he'd topple out of the chair. But anyway, I'm just joking. I'm just getting this across to you. It's just a good thing to instill within your children the Word of God. Let them memorize. Now, they can memorize their heroes. They can memorize stats. They can memorize stuff at school, and all that's fine in its proper place. But why should you know more about sports and the weather than you know about the Word of God? That doesn't make sense to me. Now you don't have to pick one or the other. Well, we've got to memorize the Bible. I can't learn nothing else about life. Why can't you just do both? Why can't you hit a home run and learn John 3:16? Why can't you dunk the basketball and be able to quote Hebrews 13:1? Why can't you do both? You don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, just do both. Why are you making such an issue? Because your words and mine don't have the breath of God on them, but the Bible's got the breath of God on it. Let me give you a second thing. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. And we'll look here just a little bit later in your Bible there. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Not only is this book God breathed, and number 2, it is life-changing. This book is life-changing. Let me read you these verses. Some of my favorite in the writings of Peter are found in 1 Peter chapter 1. If I could, let me begin reading in verse number 23. When you find it, would you say amen? Here we go. Being born again. Being born again. Now listen, you cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You won't not just see it, you won't enter it unless you've been born again of the Spirit of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Notice this. But of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I find here the seed of the Word of God. The message that has been dear to my heart I heard years and years ago that incorporates these thoughts. Listen to it for a moment. Everybody needs the deposit of the Word of God in their heart. And I don't know when it first happened for you. I'm not real sure when it first happened with me. It might have been in a vacation Bible school. It might have been in a revival meeting. It might have been in somebody just giving me a tract. I really don't remember. But somewhere along in my past, the seed of God's Word was deposited in my heart. It might have been just somebody talking to me about Jesus, but somehow God took His Word and planted a seed in my heart. Now, for you, it might have been when you was a child, teenager, a young adult, or an older adult, but God put the seed of His Word. Now, listen, without that incorruptible seed, you could not be saved. You say, you tell me I got to have the Word of God in order to be saved. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you exempt the Word of God out of your life, you are not and cannot be saved apart from the Word of God. Every truth you know about Jesus ain't just what a man told you. It's what the Bible records about Christ. That is the truth. Life change, the deposit of the Word. And then Another is mentioned in verse number 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's the durability of the word of God. Aren't you glad that the Bible didn't wear out? Brother Tim bought those new Bibles for us we were talking about this morning that are in the pews there, the little award Bibles, so they can people can use them. And we've got, I think he bought 100 of them all together. They're very similar. Some of you remember back 2005, his picture's in our lobby out there. John Stalby, who went to serve in the United States Marines, lost his life in Iraq and was killed serving our country in the Marines as one of the elite scout snipers. And he was killed as an IED blew up. Many of us remember. Well, right after that, there was a family in our church at the time. They moved on, but they bought some Bibles just like those that Brother Tim bought for us. And they bought them in honor of John Stalby. We even had a little print, a little paper printer to dedicate those things to John and his testimony, because he was a Christian. He gave good testimony of that, even to the Marines that he served with, leading them in devotions in foxholes and so forth. A great young man. But you know what happened to those Bibles? They wore out. After a while, just by virtue of use, sometimes they fell apart, some pages got tore out of them. I mean, those things just didn't endure. They weren't durable enough. But that's just paper and textured ink and some kind of leather substitutes on the outside. That's not the very Word of God itself. That's just the paper it's written on. Those things wear out, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. You could take every Bible we got in this building, including the one you got in your lap, tote it outside, and if somebody at force of gunpoint made us burn them all, they would not burn up the Word of God. They'd burn the copies that we've got, and we might have to go get other ones. Brother Roloff said years ago, it'd be a shame if all the Bibles disappeared because nobody's memorizing anymore, to have to recoup it. If we had to do it from memory, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? Now, everybody knows this 23rd Psalm and John 3:16, but there's a lot more to the Bible than that. No matter what man does to destroy and tear up, this happened in the book of Jeremiah, and God just made another copy and said, that's got just as much inspiration on it as the other does. Don't ever worry about something like this. Well, I know the original autographs, whenever Paul and them wrote the Bible, those things were inspired, but I don't know about this one. Listen, if God preserves His Word, He didn't preserve the paper and the ink. He preserved the inspiration of the Scriptures. So the Bible you got in your lap is just as inspired as the Word of God was when it was originally written with the pen of the Apostle Paul. It has endured. The deposit of the Word, the durability of the Word. Then in verse number 2 of the next chapter, would you look with me there? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Every Christian needs a healthy desire for the Word of God. I watched, I think it was Brent and Sarah George's little boy was walking around here this morning right after church, and he had one of the little baby bottles with a nipple on top. And he was just slinging it around a little bit, and he'd lift it up and drink some of that milk, lift it up and drink some of that milk. And I thought, you know what? There's a little baby that just loves and has a great desire for that little bit of milk he can get a hold of. God's people need a hungry, baby-like desire, if you would, if I could use that. I don't mean being immature, but I mean just being hungry for that single item. Now, I've got candy. Kids come in my office and get it after church. Grown men and women come and steal candy from my office, by the way. They say it's for their children, but I know better than that, Dave Avery. But nevertheless, but you know, that little baby didn't want anything. All he wanted was that bottle and that milk, that bottle and that milk. Again, I'm not trying to encourage being a baby Christian, but I'm saying as a baby, they want that milk. They don't want nothing else. They want that milk. We need that same kind of desire. And then verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 2, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, there's the demand of the Word of God. You can't read the Bible like James said that got saved this week, James Shadimu from Nigeria. James, well, the first words out of his mouth when he sat down in my office was, I've been under conviction. The Word of God. I believe that's one reason some people don't read the Bible, because they know if they read it, it's going to convict them. What's going to convict you of? Well, drinking, smoking, cussing. Well, I'm sure to probably touch on them. But how about things like malice, ill will toward people? How about guile, deceitfulness and so such? How about being hypocritical? How about envying? And how about all evil speaking? Not just that which reaches the level of super profanity and vileness, those four-letter words that seem to drop from some people's lips, but all evil speakings when you're talking bad about your brother, sister in Christ. Well, we'll move on. Y'all getting rather uncomfortable. I'm saying this, the Bible is a treasure chest because it's a God-breathed book. It's a treasure chest because it is a life-changing book. This book will change you, whether to get you saved or after you're saved. Number three, it's a book that is easily understood. I've had people tell me this. Well, I don't understand the Bible. I've tried reading it. But you know what I found out? When you get to know the author, he can explain everything to you. If you knew the person that wrote the book, he can explain to you exactly what he meant when he wrote those particular words or that passage. Some people have to be reminded of what the Bible tells us over in the book of 1 Corinthians, that the spiritual things, that the natural man does not understand or discern spiritual things. They just can't be done. You can't fathom them because you're not spiritually minded. And that certainly begins with salvation. But let me take you to the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, largest, longest chapter in the Bible by itself alone, as a chapter is bigger than some whole books of the Bible. Psalm 119 and verse number 130, a great verse here, a good one to commit to memory. Here the Bible says, Psalm 119 verse 130, when you arrive at that location, would you say an amen? The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. You know who the simple are? Slow to grasp and understand. I have parents come to us, our Christian school come to us, and they say, Brother Sellers, can I meet with you? Sure. They sit down and say, well, I want to talk to you about, we'll just name him Johnny. Because it could be any kid, and I want nobody thinking they're talking about your youngin', okay, or your grandin'. Brother Sellers, you know Johnny's slow. You know, he has that ADD, you know, there's all these different letters now to describe a kid. And I'm not trying to say some kids don't have those problems. But it's always this. Johnny's slow. He just doesn't seem to understand at the same rate that everybody else in class. Could you give him some more attention? Could the teacher maybe spend a little bit more time? Could maybe there be a reading group? I mean, all kind of different things that the parents seem to have an idea about. By the way, could I just throw this in? One of the ideas that never comes is, can we do more? Can we work with him more at home? What can we do to help the teacher? No, no, no. It's always this. Y'all ain't doing something right, or he'd be learning. And I just want to say to some of them, Johnny ain't going to learn nothing because Johnny don't want to learn nothing. Johnny wants to play and piddle and eat, and then play and piddle and eat, and then go home and play and piddle and eat. And it, well, anyway, I'll chase that rabbit forever because it just aggravates me when parents want to tell us how to fix everything when they ain't got a clue themselves. And parents ought to join in and help out. It'd make a tremendous difference in it. But the bottom line I'm trying to get across to you is this. Sometimes it really might be that Johnny just doesn't understand yet, and he's slow to grasp it. But we have teachers here who are willing to help. Even if we get frustrated, we're willing to help Johnny learn. More than the teacher, more than the preacher, more than the assistant, more than the Sunday school teacher wants to help you learn, the Spirit of God wants to help you learn the Word of God. If you'll attack this book, dive into it, read it, and say, Lord, I'm a slow learner. I got ADHD. I've got some other slow, disabling educational problem. I don't understand the Bible. I'm not educated enough. I didn't pay enough attention. How many of us, if we could go back to when we was in the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, would actually read more? I'd have to raise my hand. I didn't care nothing about reading then. I wanted to play basketball. We'll move on. There's a lot of other things I wanted to do, and I bet you did too. But I didn't focus on what I should. And now that I do focus on what I should, I need some help. And that's the Spirit of God will help you and help me. Even if we didn't get educated right, He'll help you understand. There's nothing in the Bible that you can't understand. If God wants you to understand it, the Spirit of God will teach you. The fourth and final thing, and I'm done tonight, that makes God's book such a gift and a treasure chest to every one of us, is not only is it God-breathing, life-changing, easy to be understood, but number four, it's a source of encouragement. You're in Psalm 119. We read verse number 130. Would you look back at verse 103? How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen to me, I believe with all of my heart that God gives encouragement and peace through His word. Let me read you another passage found in the book right before Psalms, that great book of Job in chapter number 23 and verse number 12. Job said this, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed," listen to how he thought about the Word of God, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Well, I tell you what, Job knew this much. Encouragement comes from the Word of God. Listen, when you get rattled, you begin to cry, your heart gets broken, and you begin to wonder if anybody cares about you, loves you, find your comfort and encouragement and peace in the Word of God. Crack open God's book and commence to reading, and read till you, don't read till you get tired, read till you get help. You might have to read a little in the Old and a little in the New Testament. Just keep on reading until God shows you something that'll help and encourage you. It might be through the life of somebody. It might be through a verse itself. It might be just one word. I'll close with this. I've said it many times in preaching to the inmates at the prison. A brother Earl coming to me, I guess back in 2003 when he first came back from the mission field, was here with us. His second stint here at Faith Baptist. I remember him coming to me one day in my office. He said, "Preacher, I got a great word from God today." I said, "What is it, Brother Earl?" And he pointed in the Bible and showed me this word. It was the word tomorrow. And I said, "Well, that's amazing." And it didn't. My honey bucket didn't turn over inside. You know what I'm saying? He was under the spout where the glory comes out, but I was nowhere near the spout. I'm like, "Well, that's good. Amen, bro." And I'm just like, "You're going to have to explain that a whole lot further." And I said, "Well, just what did the Lord show you out of that?" He said, "He showed me that I have a tomorrow in the sense of hope and encouragement. My life is not over. God still got something for me out yonder." Now, see, that one word made all the difference to him. Now, Brother Jesse, that didn't mean nothing to me that day. But later on, when I ran across tomorrow, again in the Bible, read what I thought about. I thought about how the Lord used it to encourage Earl Kicklider, and all of a sudden, it encouraged me. Man, it's amazing what the Word of God will do in speaking to your specific need. I don't know what you're going through when you hit the book of Job. I don't know what you're going through when in reading your Bible you find the book of Proverbs. I don't know what you're going through when you hit 2 Timothy or when you turn to the book of Leviticus. I have no idea what you're going through at that time. But God, the Holy Spirit, is watching over you and me every day, and He knows exactly where you're going to be in the Bible tomorrow if Jesus doesn't come and you live. And I bet you, now listen to me, I'm betting you, He's got something waiting on you right there tomorrow if you'll just go open the treasure chest. Unclaimed riches are waiting for you and me right there in the Word of God. Aren't you glad we got a Bible? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. And thank You for the good attention these folks have given in these moments. I've shared Your truth with them. And I pray, God, that You'd make Your book, not my sermon, make Your Word, Your book, more relevant and real and powerful in our lives. May we find ourselves in it every single day of this coming week. May You speak to us. Thank You for what You've shown us, what You're going to show us to help and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads are bowed.